WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. A happy Festivus to everybody out there celebrating. We're putting together the biggest charitable effort that we've ever put together. We're calling it Crab Cake Row. It's going to happen Super Bowl week. A cup of soup or bowl we're going to be doing for our friends at the Maryland Food Bank. I'll have some more information on that. Our friends at the Maryland Lottery are giving away a whole bunch of scratch-offs. Instead of the Crab Cake Tour this month, we're chilling out, letting Lamar bake and win a Super Bowl. And we're going to be doing this beginning February 5th all over Baltimore. You're going to be hearing more and more about it. This guy has been with me from the beginning of time. I read his work as a young lad. I'm sure I was sitting there watching the draft back in 1983 when he was screwing around with John Elway and we were losing our franchise. He is from the fighting city of Philadelphia and the city of brotherly love, but spent a really long time out in St. Louis chasing around the Vermeil Rams and the greatest show on turf. He is a longtime Hall of Fame voter. I promised everybody this week, because I haven't done a ton of football. I do a lot of football, but not a ton the way I used to, that I would be going to some of my favorite people that I always had on during Radio Row and certainly during my esteemed 32-year career as a sports media representative. Howard Balzer is out in the sunshine where he deserves to be after that. You know, he just keeps going west. Pretty soon he'll hit California and put his feet in the water. He's been out in Arizona now, and I see him running around with the Cardinals from time to time out there and doing all sorts of things. No one knows more about the history of the game than my friend Howard Balzer. What's up, H. Balzer? What's life like out there in the desert these days?
Life is awesome in the desert. There's no doubt about it. Even at this time of the year, when you get a stretch of weather where the highs in the mid, you know, the mid to upper 50s. And everybody who's a native is going around going, "Oh my God, I can't believe how cold it is." And I'm saying, "You don't know cold." You don't know cold, but it's still sunny virtually every day. So it's a nice life in a big city, certainly.
Well, it's not sunny here, but I tell you what, the sun's shining. It's been a hell of a year for Baltimore, right? Like the Orioles,
yeah,
first place, sort of door to door. They get whacked right away by the Rangers and a disappointment. And then the Lamar train starts, right, with the Detroit blowout and just all the way through. And, dude, there's a level of – you're a sports guy in sports towns. This level of expectation, and you're familiar with the Rams when they won and then lost, the beginning of the Tom Brady dominance and all that, and really the end of the franchise there. And I've had my – I had Clark Judge on earlier and Sam Kavaris, you know, guys at Baltimore. I have my Baltimore Colts belt buckle out still. So, you know, and the Oilers, you know, the Adams family keeps rubbing salt in the wounds of anybody that really loved the Oilers like me and people in Houston by wearing those jerseys. We're in a weird time, right? I mean, you're moving franchises and then chase the other owner back to Phoenix. And but we're here on the cusp of maybe our third parade, like literally since St. Louis had the one, right? And in this era, but it's treacherous, right? I mean, these couple of weeks and winning these games, these are the ones that put you in Hall of Fame conversation when you get together and vote, Howard.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's, you know, it is a team thing, obviously. And I always argue that we shouldn't always judge players, quarterbacks, coaches are the ones who are judged the most on winning championships. Because like you said, this time of the year it's brutal because the best are playing the best. And that's just the way it is. I think sometimes it's unfortunate how we sometimes maybe downgrade or not respect those that lost. But most of the time you're losing to a darn good football team. But there's no doubt that when the discussions occur and players are being compared, a lot of times championships or things like that can be a tiebreaker or at least be a separator, if you will. And that's, you know, that's where legacies are built. There's no question about it. I mean, let's be honest. Tom Brady is considered, quote, the GOAT and the greatest of all time, not only because of what he did as a quarterback, but because the teams he was on won all those championships. And yet, you know, the Peyton Manning won, you know, he was on two winning teams, but the second one was because of the defense and he wasn't really playing that well. So even some of the great quarterbacks ever don't even win Super Bowls, don't even get there. But then if they do, you know, you're fortunate to win one or two, and it's few and far between, especially in this day where you're going to put multiple championships together. And that's how, you're right, that's how a lot of people are judged. I think sometimes that's a little bit unfair, but it's unfortunately the way it is.
Balzer is our guest. He is a longtime friend and still watching the game very, very closely. And putting Lamar in historical perspective for two MVPs at this point in his career, for all the contract stuff last year, for all of the is he going to sign? Nobody wants him. All the Deshaun Watson nonsense that went on, and now Flacco, and we'll get to him in a couple of minutes as well, because we'll paint some history with him from a guy who was at the beginning of Kurt Warner, and Flacco has an opportunity. He's 3 hours away from going to another Super Bowl against all odds, and with the defense to do it, and some pieces to do it. But Lamar, and where Lamar sits in all of this for the next month, and for what he's really done the first 5, 6 years of a career, this is the elusive part for and it was for Peyton Manning for a long time, and you still don't want to bring it up with Dan Marino, right?
Right. Yeah. No. Exactly. One time in the Super Bowl, and that was early in his career. And then I think he played 18 years, and his last 16, I think it was. Not only no Super Bowls, there were a lot of years without even the playoffs. So it just shows that no matter how great a guy is as a passer, quarterback, whatever it is, you better have the team around you, and that is still the most important thing in the ultimate team sport that there is. And so what Lamar Jackson has done is pretty phenomenal. And I think the questions about him were legitimate. And I think mostly it wasn't centered around as much about what he can do, but how he was injured, the last two seasons at the end of both years. And I don't have to tell everybody there this. I mean, the last time he was MVP, it was a pretty quick exit in the postseason. So there's obviously a lot of incredible expectations with this team, the number one seed. We'll see who they play in the first round, but yeah, it's going to take two really good games no matter who they play to get there. And they've certainly been on a roll at the end of the season, and that even raises, if the San Francisco game had gone a little bit differently, then the expectations would be high, but maybe not as high as they are now. But after that game, oh my goodness, some people think it's automatic. Well, it's not automatic. They are a hell of a team, though, but you better play your best in those games in the postseason. Otherwise, a close win, obviously, the old, sends you home.
For Lamar and this offense, and we keep saying Lamar, it's the Ravens, right? And you talk about building team around the player, whoever it is. And we can go back to Archie Manning not having the guns around him in New Orleans all these years later. But last year with Roman in the running game and the philosophy of Lamar running and being a running threat, but not a running back, according to him, and the criticisms of distributing the ball down the field, not being a pocket passer. Boy, he's really started to take off all the checks and all the asterisks for the things he couldn't do and the things that he wasn't allowed to do. But more than that, the talent around him, right? Like having wide receivers that can go get the ball, having an offensive line, having a running game. Lost Mark Andrews, but likely's filled in nicely. But this is to me as much about Eric DaCosta and building Roquan Smith, building a defense,
Right.
building an offensive line with veteran players. Signing Odell Beckham, even though it hasn't been the greatest statistical part of this, it was almost like a bait, a 1 year deal, because he happened before Lamar. They needed to show Lamar that Lamar could win here to some degree. And all of that darkness of the dark cloud of the offseason and his injury and not being at the playoff game last year when it counted. The year ago this week, he didn't even show up to be with his teammates on the sideline. So all of that happened. It feels like ancient history now, right? I mean, how quickly the narrative changes when the offense changes, the personnel changes, and it helps a quarterback to have a guy like Roquan Smith and Kyle Hamilton and
Yes,
Mike
sir.
McDonald is going to go get himself a job probably by the end of the week, as well as Harbaugh's brother. All of this is has played into this, so it really is a lot bigger than Lamar if you're explaining it.
No question. No question. And I alluded to that 49ers game, and that was about the defense as much as anything. The first half was kind of just okay for the Ravens offensively, and it was a close game at halftime. But that defense that just stepped up and was lights out, and that just shows, what can happen. I mean, you mentioned Kurt Warner earlier. I mean, he'd have one more Super Bowl if the defense had been able to stop the Steelers after the Cardinals went ahead in the Super Bowl, but they couldn't, and Pittsburgh won that Super Bowl. So there's so many facets of the NFL. But what I found really interesting, what you said, Nestor, was where you talked about the narrative, how quickly it changed. Hey, narratives change in the NFL every week. I mean, there's so much overreaction and over evaluation by what happens in one game. And one example is a perfect example is back however many weeks it was when the Steelers were 7-4, and all anybody was saying was, "What? How's this team 7-4? This is a testimony to what a great coach Mike Tomlin is. This team isn't that talented." Then they went on a little losing streak, right? And all of a sudden, the topic on all the shows where they just have to fill segments was, "Is it time for Mike Tomlin to move on?" Right? Is it time for the
That's
Steelers to
why I
make a
don't do that
change?
kind of radio. It's just insane.
Right. Well,
It's
yeah.
just insane. I mean, it really
Totally.
is.
And
And
now they're one, and they're in the postseason with Mason Rudolph, playing solid coming down the stretch, and they're in the postseason again. And all of a sudden, it's quiet about Mike Tomlin. So the narratives are always going to change tremendously. And like I said, they change from week to week, month to month, year to year, whatever it is. But when you talk about Hall of Fame legacy, that's why we don't look at it until way down the road. Not only when a player's finished his career, but then after he's out of the game for 5 years, and then you start really considering. And so, some guys are headed there. Others, there's going to be an interesting discussion, and it'll be very, very interesting to see what Lamar does, what he does the rest of this season and the rest of his career. But what he's done, especially this year after losing Andrews, as you alluded to, that there was a lot of people, "Oh my goodness, what's going to happen to this offense now?" And they've still played winning football. Yeah, now we'll see if they can do it for another 3 games.
the Kurt Warner story, different than the Joe Flacco story, but Flacco, 5 years of playoffs, threw the pass to take him to the Super Bowl that Lee Evans dropped, comes, guarantees that, then guaranteed it, said he's the best quarterback, believe, then goes out and wins the Super Bowl, gets his contract. And it's amazing, Howard, in this town. I don't know what the legacy will be for Nick Foles in your hometown. Certainly not the same as it is for Kelce or some other guys that have made sort of a legend in Philly. But Flacco's a Philly kid, and he comes down here and wins and gets jettisoned, and they bring Lamar in, and it's like it never missed a beat. And Flacco went off to, the Jets in Philadelphia and looked old and tired and all that. I talked to him in August. He said to me, "I still want to play." And then he gets signed late by Cleveland on a Friday afternoon, flies out, and we're like, "Well, what are we going to see?" And we clearly see this guy that took 3, 4, 5 months from the summer on, getting ready to be in this position and maybe believed it that he had it, we would have a chance to play again, but maybe just as a backup. This is one hell of a movie if he can win a game or two. And a game or two would mean beating Baltimore, right? I mean, where are you on the Flacco thing and seeing this and maybe some shades of something that reminds you of Kurt Warner a little bit?
Well, this one is, I mean, maybe there's other situations like this, but it's unprecedented, I think, to come to a team that late. It's one thing if you weren't playing and then all of a sudden you start playing and you were just there as the backup. It's another thing to come to a team as late as he did. I mean, Kurt Warner was just, over the top, but he got the job as the season was beginning. Certainly no one expected it to happen, but also, that team behind him, around him was incredible. The Browns, they have talent on offense, don't get me wrong, but it's not a great offensive team like those Rams teams were. And heck, they lost Nick Chubb at running back way early in the season. So what they've been able to do, and granted, it's on that defense. We talked about the Ravens in the defense. The Browns stayed in the hunt with all these different quarterbacks because of their defense. Led by Myles Garrett, and that's they've done a tremendous job. And so when the defense is stopping, it doesn't put as much pressure on the offense to make those plays at critical times. If it's second and long, third and long, quarter, hey, don't worry about it. There's no crime in punting. We'll get the ball back, right? Because the defense is going to stop them, and that makes it a lot different to call plays on offense when you have that complementary, piece on the other side of the ball on defense. And so the Browns have that. That's what makes this intriguing. You look at the Texans, who they're playing this week in Houston, and offensive rookie of the year probably in C.J. Stroud. An incredible job that D'Amico Ryans has done as the head coach, and that their defense is pretty darn good too. So that could be, that I think that'll be a that should be a heck of a game to kick off the weekend. But you know, we'll see what Flacco can do in the postseason now that they're playing against some darn good teams that have really good momentum.
It's been some unlikely stuff, man. I was there the day you lost your franchise. They're going to go play in LA. They're going to build in Carson. They're going to do all this stuff. Now they have their television network out there. It's been a minute. They've won a Super Bowl, the Rams, and now they're going to take Stafford back to Detroit.
Yeah.
And of all the things you could wreck, screwing up things for Cleveland or Detroit almost feels unholy at this point because they've been so awful for so long. They're here. I mean, even the Bills have never won, right? But the Lions-Rams thing and your long history with the Rams and all that they've done there, this is an unlikely story and certainly one that the NFL wants on in prime time without a Peacock designation.
Yeah, exactly. No, you're right on that because, and of course, obviously with Stafford going there and with Jared Goff, who has been, I think, one of the most, you know, least respected starting quarterbacks in the NFL. All the narrative is on him as well. When are the Lions going to move on to somebody else? And all Jared Goff has done with the Rams is help them get to a Super Bowl. And, you know, we'll never know what would have happened had Stafford not become available when he did and the Rams made that trade. If that hadn't happened, who knows? Maybe the Rams stick with Jared Goff. But, you know, they won a lot of games with him at quarterback. And what people have forgotten is or overlooked is that Brad Holmes, who was the Lions general manager who made that trade, was the director of college scouting with the Rams when Jared Goff was drafted. So he wanted Goff as part of that deal. And he's lived up, you know, yeah, he has some tough stretches, but what quarterback doesn't? But you know, he's obviously been a big part of that team's success and how they're able to play. Unfortunately for them, they might not have Sam Laporta, the incredible rookie tight end, for this game. They say he might be able to play, but you wonder how effective he'll be with an injury. So you like these teams to be healthy, but sometimes that doesn't happen. But that's for the Hollywood scriptwriters, you know, to have a matchup like this that was Stafford and Goff in the first round of the playoffs.
They add these wild card games and the Peacock and the Monday night and all that. And, you know, 9-8 teams and whatever else is going to be through all of this. But the one seed's never been more valuable than it is to have this time off. And it's kind of hard to not like Baltimore and San Francisco right now. Right, Howard?
No, no question. I mean, they're the favorites. There's no doubt about it. And I'm waiting for the day when there won't be any teams with a bye. I think if the NFL could figure out how to schedule, you know, 8 games on a weekend, they would probably do it. But yeah, it's great to have that week off. You always do wonder, especially when a team rests guys in the final week of the regular season, so they're not playing at all or much in that game. Then they have a week off, and you're playing against a team that has just won a playoff game, and they're playing with house money, going against the number one seed. A lot of times, those games are a lot of times a lot better than people think they'll be. But they'll be. But those two are, I think, are the best in the league right now. I think it would be great theater to see a rematch in Las Vegas next month. But you know, again, you still got to navigate through some pretty good football teams. Even though you look at all the other guys, oh, who can really beat the Ravens? Who can really beat the 49ers? And you look at it and you say, there's no teams as complete or as good. But we all know on the old cliche, on any given Sunday, what can happen. And those number one seeds have to be, especially that first week, you know, just come out and play like they haven't had time off. And so, well, I'm always interested in those two challenge games in that following week of the playoffs.
Howard Balzer, one of our dear friends. He is out in the desert of Arizona via Philadelphia and a long time in St. Louis. What does a guy like you do when Ted Drews goes away? I mean, you try to get it in the air. My friend transferred in the Lambert Airport, St. Louis, tried to get Ted Drews, and they were sold out, and I think that's a crime.
Yeah, I haven't had Ted Drews in a while, quite honestly. But, you know, that's the way it goes sometimes. But, yeah, that's a staple, obviously, of the St. Louis community. And it's, you know, miss a lot back there, but certainly don't miss the weather at all.
Well, miss the Cardinals.
By the way, talking about weather in Kansas City on Saturday night, It's supposed the high during the day is going to be 9 degrees, and the game starts at 7 p.m.
Guys that play their football in
Central time.
Davie, Florida, tend to not like that sort of weather, right?
Right. And who I guess you say, well, what, gosh, I wonder what the temperature will be at 7 as opposed to 9. Well, does it really matter at that point if
It
it's
hurts to
9 to 5
breathe.
or 4?
I can
It's just
tell you from the
cold.
Mile High Miracle game, it hurts to breathe. And I would just say, for this time of year, that is the great equalizer's weather, right? Like the Ravens play all this hard to get the one seed. If it snows sideways next weekend in the middle of the game, Joe Flacco, Mason Rudolph, whoever it is, doesn't matter. That's the treachery of all of this. Howard, I got to let you go, man. There's no bad weather out in Arizona. Enjoy the sun. Enjoy the football. Enjoy voting and enjoy Radio Row if you make it up to Vegas. I will not see you there, but I'm looking forward to getting together and seeing how all this works out. I'll get back with you in March or April before the draft, and we'll see who had the parade and who had their feelings hurt.
Yeah, we'll see. Look forward to it, man. Always enjoy coming on with you. Take care.
Howard Balzer, one of my favorites, and a great room raider as well. Behind, I got an Emmy behind him, and is that Don Meredith up there? Is that Dandy Don?
No, oh no. Oh, that little thing right up there.
What is that? What's that? That looks like Monday Night Football. Who's that? Is
No,
that Keith Jackson?
that's Gil Brandt. That's a
That's
little
Gil Brandt,
bobblehead. A bobblehead that they gave away. I don't
the
know if it's a
late
bobblehead. It's just a little
great
caricature.
Gil Brandt. Okay, hey,
Yeah.
I just had to ask. And I loved Gil, by the way. So, my thoughts to you and everybody that loved Gil. So.
Yeah,
Appreciate you,
yeah.
man.
Thanks, man. Take care.
Our balls are out in Arizona. We're putting together the Crab Cake Row beginning on February 5th. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation and Jiffy Lube MultiCare. I have lots to say about that, lots to do, and lots to ask. We'll be doing that after more. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.